Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Impact Vest podcast, transformative global innovation in a new era of impact. I'm Aisha Williams, the founder and CEO of Impact Vest, and along with our guest host, we aim to inspire and motivate towards collective positive global impact to solve our world's most pressing challenges in sustainability. With each episode, we will engage in insightful conversations with global changemakers, visionaries, and sustainability activists who wish to build a more sustainable and resilient future. Join us now as we create the future of impact.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Impact Vest podcast. I am Tanya Love Lamort, the Managing Director of the Impact Vest Alliance. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Vanessa Grace Chislett, the founder, CEO, and tea alchemist at Chiso Tea Company, a company that is a bespoke tea revolution, inviting the enlightened gastronomist to embark on an ancient and culturally rich experience. Welcome to our podcast, Vanessa.
Thank you so much for having me here. This is such an honor and a pleasure to finally meet you, but just to be here in this space and to be able to share story of really, really important shifts that are happening in the world right now. So yeah, thank you.
And it's nice to meet you as well. We are so happy to have you here. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your experiences?
Of course, yeah. Well, as you mentioned, my name is Vanessa Chislett, and I am originally born and raised in Calgary, Alberta, here in the Great White North of Canada. And in this little town, my tea journey actually began in my childhood. I grew up drinking tea. It was the staple in our household, having English and Dutch roots in my genealogy. I think we just gravitated towards tea. My dad, he loved red rose tea. That was what we grew up on. It was our creme de la creme. And yeah, but then in high school, I really started to dive into tea on a more nuanced level. I ended up discovering this adorable tea house in one of the cool, hip, trendy districts in Calgary on 17th Avenue called Steep's Tea House. And during my childhood in junior high and high school, things were a little wild and crazy with my family. I was raised by a single mother who raised five kids. And so it was wild. She raised us with a day home in our house. So there was always like so many children around in my home environment. And so come high school, I was always gravitating towards the spaces that were really peaceful and quiet and still, just because of the nature of my upbringing. So I ended up taking black and white film photography, spent a lot of time in the dark room. And then when I discovered this tea house, it just ended up becoming my sanctuary in like the crazy world that I was living in. And you know, I remember opening up these big wooden chestnut doors that were so heavy, this like arched door that led into the tea shop. And the aroma that hit me was just so powerful and sweet and like rich. There were so many different smells and scents that were that just invited me into that space. And the environment, it drew in such an incredible demographic of people. There were everyone from like high school students from the high school down the street to business professionals to hippies to like everyone under the sun. It didn't matter the age, the gender, none of that mattered. It was just this like space that invited everybody in. And it was amazing because I started working there during high school. And that's when the seed of Chiso Tea really was planted, was at that really early age of like 15, 16. And when I was working there, it was amazing because it was busy until close. They closed at 11 p.m. They had no liquor license. There wasn't anything of that nature, but people just wanted to stay there and be there. I think it was like the aroma, but also just the quality of people that were drawn there. And, you know, that space, even though it was busy and bustling, it also was calm and like serene. And, you know, I could go there and I could write. I could just listen to my music. And there was just a spaciousness mm-hmm. that came with the world of tea that I had began to discover. And of course, having worked there, then I started to look into the supply chain. I started looking into where all these teas were coming from, diving deep into the history of tea and, you know, where it came from and all the different botanicals. It was just such a massive universe that I had walked into. And yeah, I have to say that, like, since then, and since I started drinking tea, my whole world for the search for quality, but also the search for that same stillness and that same expansiveness is kind of what's fueled my beginning with Shiso Tea Company. So yeah, that was the beginning. And it was just such an amazing environment. And of course, I went on to go work for several of their tea businesses. I was managing a few different tea retail stores. So I really got a good understanding of the supply chain, the suppliers that were out there, what teas I wanted to source. But one thing I really noticed about the North American tea market is that there were so few suppliers, wholesalers, and distributors that everybody was sourcing from the same supplier. And, you know, as my palate developed too, I started to realize, like, our North American food industry as a whole had been so tainted by these like fake flavors and like fruity ingredients and sugar yes. and all these additives.
Yeah.
And, you know, I ended up discovering this one supplier, and as soon as I tasted their tea, I was like, whoa, this is like actually pure. Like, essential oils are the only thing that are added to add a little bit of an enhancement, but the botanicals themselves were so much more fresh. It's like the difference between going to a big box grocery store and then you go and discover a farmer's market,
right?
Where the products have literally come straight from the farm. They're right. fresh. They're so much more rich in flavor and nutrients on top of that because of the lack of points of contact in right. the supply chain. So when I was about 20 years old, I started at Mount Royal University. I did one semester in their newly launched entrepreneurship program. And at that point, I had already discovered this organization that had a business plan template online. So I had already been building my business model from the ground up going into that program. And so the program didn't really serve me well because I was in all these like group courses or group projects that had all these kids straight out of high school who didn't really know what they were wanting to do. Wow. And I was like, okay, I'm at a different level here. I'm already managing this retail store, this tea retail store.
Right.
You know, I'm already doing all the research that I need to. I am already coming into this with like a couple years of experience in this industry, even right. though I was only 20 years old.
Right.
So I went on to work for several other management roles, retail, food and beverage. That was kind of paralleling the beginning of Shiso Tea. But it wouldn't be until about 2011 when I finally took the plunge and registered the business. And it had to be a side hustle for many, many years as I was building out the model, because the farther down the tea rabbit hole I got, the bigger the picture began, because it is a global industry, whether you like it or not.
Right.
And coming back to the point about supply chain that I really started to discover was that, you know, on average, there's about 10 to 15 different points of contact from garden to cup. And wow. that's not just talking about the tea leaves, which you can see in this background. Yes. Our guests will be able to see it, but I'm in a virtual tea field right now. But you look at like all of the different botanicals that would go into a chai, for instance.
Right.
Well, there's like, I don't know, sometimes 8 to 15 different ingredients that go into chai. Well, where are all those coming from? How many points of contact are from point A to point B with each individual ingredient, right?
Right.
So that was one thing that really kept me driving forward. But at that point, you know, when I finally registered my business in 2011, we only really started to see the food and beverage industry in North America shift a little bit more towards people becoming more conscious about where their products were coming from, their food was coming from, where the nutrition was actually coming from. So people were still very slowly waking up to understanding supply chain,
mm-hmm.
right? So the slow building of Shiso tea has taken a long time, but I think it's happened in conjunction with this awakening to people's consciousness, right? And for me, you know, I've dedicated almost half my life to this venture and to the mission and the vision of creating a more sustainable and more ethical tea supply chain. Mm-hmm. And that's not an easy feat.
No, it's not.
And it's not a path for the faint of heart. And it has come with a lot of sacrifice and a lot of loss. But I know in my heart that this mission that I'm on to ensure that I am bringing the highest quality and the most ethically sourced tea to the world is going to pay off in the long run. And it will come with this like wake and this movement of other people following suit.
Right.
But in North America specifically, there's a massive opportunity, specifically in Canada too,
right,
to create a different alternative and a different supply chain. And, you know, fast forward to the last 4 years, well, globally, no matter what part of the world you're in, I think everyone, all the consumers really became more awakened to what supply chain is and where
right.
their products are coming from. We started to see massive disruptions in the food supply chain, but in a number of other supply chains as well. And so
right.
I think it's amazing to like be at this precipice of really amazing, incredible, radical change for the betterment of humanity and the betterment of everyone along the entire food chain, right? So
right.
Anyway, sorry, that was a very long, that was
good. All good points. And you made me want to have a cup of tea after listening to that. What a great storytelling. And
are you a tea drinker?
I am. I am truly a tea drinker. My whole household are tea drinkers.
Oh, what are some of your favorite kinds?
Chai. You mentioned that.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of my favorite, with ginger. And then I love the fruity teas. I like those as well. Apple, cinnamon.
Oh, yeah.
So you talked a lot about, you know, when the first seed was planted early on, how you built and went into your whole business model, launch Shiso Tea, and you were doing some things part-time. But what was that aha moment for you that truly inspired you to say, I'm going to pivot, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be a founder and CEO of Shiso Tea Company? What was your aha moment to get you to that point?
Well, probably 2020. 2020, I know that it has shifted a lot for many people. So leading up to 2020, in November of 2019 is when we officially had incorporated. Leading up to that, we had come through several business accelerators because I realized like, yes, there's me hustling this small business and like doing everything by myself and, you know, wearing all of the hats.
Right.
There's that smaller business mentality, but my brain was never wired to keep this vision small.
Okay.
And that has come with a lot of resistance. But we started building out our advisory board in 2019. One of the accelerators, ATBX, was one of the first ones we came through. That was really amazing because I think that was in 2018 or 2017. I'll have to look back. But yeah, it was amazing.
Time flies.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Is it speeding up? I feel like
it goes so fast, especially when you're enjoying what you're doing, which definitely sounds like what you're doing. So
yeah. Well, it's been a ride for sure. So at the beginning of that accelerator, either in 2017 or 2018, a week before that, my dad had actually passed away that year. Aww. And, you know, as hard as it is to navigate grief, especially the grief of a parent, my dad's energy since that time of his passing has been with me so strongly. And it is a lot of his inspiration that kept me going all these years. He had this saying, like, I wouldn't trade you for all the tea in China. He would say that to us all the time. And I just hold that dear to my heart. And coming through that specific accelerator was one of the last rebrandings we did. And it was in that moment of like processing this really deep grief that I was like, okay, up until this point, my business has been really small. My voice has been shoved into the cookie cutter entrepreneur narrative and language that we often go through as entrepreneurs when we're expanding and growing and planning. And, you know, there's this like set way of communicating your story and right. your purpose and your vision and your mission. And so it was during that accelerator that I rewrote my story, The Inception of Camellia, which is on my website. And I've always been a huge writer. And I love language. I love telling story, but I wanted to tell my story in a way that almost separated me from the company, because up until that point, everyone was like, oh, you got to be the face of the brand. You got to be out there. Like, and I can see the slippery slope that a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs can fall into with allowing their ego to get the best of them, which often sometimes will compromise the bigger mission and the bigger vision. And right. so there was this like separation that started happening during those years. But fast forward to 2019, I started building out my advisory board. I'm like, I need more people around me right now if I'm going to accomplish this big, amazing vision. And if I'm going to be taking on some of the bigger suppliers in North America, I need that support. And so, yeah, we incorporated in November of 2019, and then come 2020, and everything just went topsy-turvy. And we started to experience all of the disruption in supply chain. We experienced, just disruption in cash flow. It has been really challenging. And then also too, I hadn't had a fresh batch of inventory leading up to that time. And I only had finally gotten a fresh batch of inventory in the summer of 2021. So it took a while to kind of get my bearings again after coming through 2020. Right. I had also went through a really intense personal tragedy in February of 2020, a month before the lockdown, which actually led to this wild healing journey and having to go to very intensive therapy to heal through that. And so there's all these like losses that came alongside a lot of growth that ended up happening with She So Tea, and a lot of things within me that started to shift. And when business owners have a vision that is greater than themselves, they often have to go through that hero's journey, right. if That's you're familiar true. With the hero's journey. And with that comes a lot of shedding, a lot of loss, a lot of having to let go of parts of yourself that are no longer serving the greater mission, the greater vision. And the entrepreneurial journey alone is a growing, evolving process. Yes. And the person that you become through the process of building whatever it is that you were called to build, especially when it comes from heart center, especially when it's spirit led, you will transform into a more pure version of yourself. And so from 2020 to this point, it has felt like going through the alchemical process of like burning away and purifying and going through each of those stages to get to this point. And it's amazing when you surrender that to that process and you allow yourself to become transformed by the challenges and the heat and the pressure. It's amazing when you finally get to that coagulation stage, which is the final stage of alchemy, when you start to see things pull together and people come into your sphere and you're like, whoa,
yeah,
this is amazing. Like even this connection to Impact Vest, I believe that I initially connected with Aisha on LinkedIn back in 2020, but I hadn't done an official outreach or like, you know, reached out to connect with her yet, because I was still going through all this healing. I was still going through all this refinement. And the timing, you know, when you're moving along in the Kairos timing as opposed to Chronos timing,
yes.
The timing is always exactly what it needs to be and when it needs to be. And
right.
Yeah, like I said, Impact Vest is a part of that coagulation stage right. for me, because I know that like on a heart level, on a soul level, there's work to be done with your organization. And I'm so excited to be here because the vision and the mission is just so aligned. There's just so much alignment.
And so. We are so happy to have you. And your story is remarkable. And the inspiration from your father to get you to this point. And you drew us into your story. So I feel like I know so much more now after listening to this. And I can hear your inspiration. So I'm looking forward to seeing how your company is going to continue to evolve. And we're definitely happy to have you as part of our Impact Vest Alliance for sure. Can you describe how you serve your clients? You talked a lot about supply chain, I know, and making sure that there's less point of contacts. But for your clients, what would you describe as your way of serving them?
Well, I have had the pleasure of bringing on a few content creators and copywriters, ghostwriters who are working with me and have been since this past fall, alongside ensuring a phenomenal product, which is like the quality, the purity of the tea that we sell, the zero waste packaging in the form of the only two forms of packaging we have, which are these beautiful Japanese tins from a supplier that's been making Japanese tea tins for over 100 years,
wow.
to our home compostable packaging. From that's like the physical element of it. But one of the pillars of Shiso Tea is the knowledge and the wisdom that we want to bestow upon our customers, right? We don't want to just sell people tea. We want to be able to educate them about what tea is.
Right.
And that is a huge, huge thing that I think is missing. There are some educational bodies in North America who are offering some sort of certifications. But since September, my team and I have actually been building out and are preparing to launch our Shiso Tea Academy. And it is going to encompass and go into a deeper dive about tea's history, the chemical composition. All of the different courses will really take like small pieces of what tea is and why it is such a vital industry. Into a total of 8 courses. So we're preparing that because knowledge is power, right? And it's one thing being able to offer people healing and equilibrium and balance within their bodies on a physical level, but we also want to feed their minds. And if you look at tea, I mean, tea's original history, it was discovered by Buddhist monks in Yunnan, China. Mm-hmm. There's that like soulful, spiritual aspect that connects tea to humanity in a way that like other beverages, other options on the market don't do, right? So there's that spiritual component, but then also the intellectual component of being able to really educate people on that. So yeah, we've got a whole bunch of different amazing offerings that we are preparing to launch very, very soon here. So those are coming up. We also just recently got connected with another local accelerator that specializes in CPG brands within Canada. Okay. Called Venture Park Labs. It's an amazing program that we're starting this week as well. And so we are hoping that all of this work that's happening right now behind the scenes, we're preparing for us to launch across Canada into the US. And very soon, hopefully within like the next couple years, we'll be launching our product in Europe as well, because we've got a ton of interest from the European market with our brand. And yeah, we just got to sort out the logistics of getting our product out there.
Right. Which is how really exciting. How exciting. You really, where you're going as your future direction is very exciting. You're not just focused on just drinking the tea. It's so much more, and it's bigger. It's an experience. And I can see that from the direction that you're going in. You're trying to educate as well as provide this enjoyable experience for someone.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit? I know you have on your website your social and environmental impact, but I want you to share with our listening audience. Can you describe what it is that you do that includes your focus on social and environmental impact?
Yeah, well, as I had mentioned earlier, with our zero waste packaging, that automatically already sets us apart from many other brands, because they're not taking packaging into consideration of the waste that's being created. The other thing that we are very, very unmovable with is that we are not selling any tea bags. Tea bags are not only horrible for the environment, but they are filled with microplastics. They're filled with chemicals. They're not good for the human body for so many reasons. And I understand the convenience of it, but that's one thing that we are not going to compromise on. We simply just want to educate our customers on why drinking full leaf, loose leaf tea is so much better. You get so much more flavor from it. You get the experience of... I know people can't see it, but I've got a glass tea brewer, but people aren't conditioned to being able to see that full experience of watching the leaves open up, right? And so bringing that visual experience to people's daily cup of tea is really important. So from the zero waste to the no tea bags, which... I mean, that's going to be its own really fun marketing campaign. Abolish the bag.
Yes. Especially in North America.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a lot of fun with that. From the social element. Oh, coming back to the environmental element. So like I was mentioning as well, the average tea supplier or end consumer tea that's in circulation, there's about 10 to 15 different points of contact. We have one point of contact between us and all of the farmers. And wow. I hardly have to sell the tea to people when I'm doing tastings with them, or if they've tried the tea. I've gotten a number of feedback from my customers who are like, I literally can't drink conventional tea anymore because you've ruined me. The flavor is just like phenomenal and incredible. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm sorry, but I'm also not sorry.
You're not sorry either. Yes. Yeah. That's your mission.
It is my mission. Yeah. To convert people over to a higher quality, more nutrient dense tea. Right. And that's what ends up healing people. So then also from a social level, I think the education and the Tea Academy that we're building, what is so important and I think is one of the biggest disconnects from people drinking their cup of tea to the garden, is educating about the history and the culture that stems from where that tea came from. Why is that tea in existence? Who created it? What's the story behind that? And there's often so much beautiful ceremony and ritual that's interwoven within every single botanical or every single tea. You know, the tea plant itself, the Camellia sinensis, it grows in 50 plus different countries across the globe, you know, and some of those countries have been growing tea for thousands of years, not just hundreds of years, right. Thousands of years.
Wow.
And so to be able to bring back the beauty in how multicultural and how rich the history of tea is, and to truly honor the cultures from where all the tea and botanicals come from is a huge part of our mission. And I think that alone, just telling the stories of the supply chain, is a huge part of the social impact. Because for a very long time, if you go down the historical rabbit hole of tea, it is not a pretty story. There's a lot of horror and war and genocide and like just so much terrible stuff. Everything that we've seen really come to the surface and come into light over these last couple of years, the truth of human trafficking and everything. Well, tea is interwoven within that. Most of those really, really horrible social issues actually come back to the tea industry. And we need to talk about that. We need to be honest about that. And then we need to create systems and supply chains that go against that and create new systems where humanity is honored. The growers are honored and like revered and paid what they should be paid, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, my bleeding heart for having done a lot of traveling to many different countries, some third world, doing a lot of volunteer work, it opened up my eyes to different demographics of people with less than me, you know? And I mean, I didn't grow up rich or wealthy by any means, but when you have that experience of going and serving people who have way less than you, and you see the love and the generosity and the light that comes from people who have less, you're like, okay, what is our society doing? Like, are we even happy with all of this abundance when you know, we're so disconnected from our human spirit? And so, tea is this like beautiful beverage that connects people from every race, every gender, every age demographic across the entire globe. And I think, you know, creating that experience of bringing people together and finding the common connection that we all have, that we're all human beings, we're all made of the same substance, is, you know, that's my greatest passion. And as we start to travel and to touch base with all of our direct suppliers and buyers and growers, and telling that story, we do have plans to actually film and launch a tea documentary as we go on our buying trips and sourcing trips, which I think is really vital for the times that we live in right now. And telling that story is just so important for balancing the scales. And then, of course, the last thing I'll mention is that we are incorporating a She's So Generous fund and a She's So Sustained fund that is built into our pricing model. As we begin to expand and we start to break into the North American market, the European market, a portion of those funds are going to go into feeding back into the tea growing communities and ensuring that everybody is taken care of along the entire supply chain. If we meet with a buyer or a grower, who needs like elevated farming equipment, or they need something to create more sustainable operations on the ground, well, I mean, we want to feed into that, right? We want to be able to make sure to take care of the people who are growing all of the tea and botanicals across our value chain. So that's our future goal once we get to that point. And yeah, it is exciting to be able to incorporate that charitable givings element into the model, because we need to use what we are bringing in to be able to give back and to create a more sustainable tea supply.
Right. Wow. This is great. And you know, at Impact Vest, having sustainability goals are very important for us. So your story is such an inspiration. And I just want to thank you for joining me today, Vanessa. It's truly been a pleasure speaking with you. I'm delighted about your story, what inspired you, how you got to the point where you are now, and your future. You already described the direction of where you want to go with your company, and it's really remarkable. And of course, being an Impact Best Alliance member, we're happy to have you on board as well. So thank you. Any closing comments you want to share with our listening audience, feel free.
The last thing I'll say is that when you're drinking your morning cup of tea or your daily cup of tea, take a moment to pause and just take in a couple deep breaths and be grateful for what's in your cup and the hands who created it, and just allow that tea to give you a moment of stillness and peace.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Impact Best podcast, Transformative Global Innovation in a New Era of Impact. Join us next week for another episode and become part of our Impact Best newsletter community, where you will receive all of the latest updates about our work in this new era of innovative impact finance. See you next week as we create the future of finance at Impact Best.